The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
That's his walk-up music. That's right, as we start the drive at 5, Philadelphia's own. Another guy who's all over the news and in high demand, and that, of course, is Professor John Yoo, the Emanuel Heller Professor of Law at the University of California at Berkeley and Philadelphia's own. And he joins us now live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Professor Yoo, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
Listen, always a pleasure to have you as a brother. We are the city of brotherly love, and we need you today. So we appreciate it very, very much, because we got a lot of questions. I mean, the Democrats are all screaming that what President Trump did here with Maduro was highly illegal, and he needed congressional authorization and approval to do it. You wrote a piece on this in National Review saying just the opposite. So please help us set it straight for us.
Of course. So first, if Democrats are going to attack President Trump for this, let's ask them first to be consistent. How many of them also said that President Obama couldn't use force to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi in Libya? Or how many of them said Bill Clinton couldn't wage an air war on Serbia and get rid of Slobodan Milosevic? Or let's go all the way back. I'm sure none of them were around, but how many of them have lately said Thomas Jefferson shouldn't have sent the Navy after the Barbary Pirates? In all those cases, Democratic presidents engaged in regime change and acted without congressional approval. I just want to make sure if people are going to attack Trump for this, that they do it not because they just disagree with what party is in charge of the White House, but because they really believe it. But even if they have been consistent, I just don't think that's been the practice in our history. I think presidents of both parties have acted to protect the national interest and the national security from foreign threats. And I think our Constitution doesn't require that we be paralyzed waiting for 535 people in Congress to debate and deliberate and decide before a president can take immediate action. That's why we have a president. That's why the founders put the power of the executive branch in one person, so they could act quickly and they'd also be responsible to us. And look, if Democrats in Congress don't like this, the Constitution gives them tools. They can cut off funding for military operations. They can choose not to build the kind of unbelievable military we have in our hands that was able, I think the only one in the world that was able to carry out an operation like this over the weekend. Or they can ultimately resort to impeachment. But I think the idea that Congress has to approve every use of force abroad runs in the face of our history and traditions, and in the face of the right way to read the Constitution.
And as I was reading your piece, Professor, I also, you get into the legal issues too regarding Maduro and the fact that this was, while it was executed by the military, it was a law enforcement, I don't know if operation's the right word, but ultimately it was to get him into court. How does that play out when you're using the military to pick somebody up on foreign soil? Because I don't think he was a legitimate president. I mean, he says he's the president of his country, but he lost the election, and I don't think he's legitimate. So let's just say, for example, he's a foreigner on foreign soil, but it's a dangerous place, and the military goes in to pick up a guy who's wanted here in the United States of America on arrest. I mean, we do have the ability to arrest people on foreign soil, right?
Yeah, of course. And look, if people think this is illegitimate and that Maduro shouldn't be tried in federal court, then I guess we should have let Manuel Noriega out in Panama too in 1989, because we did exactly the same thing in 1989. Noriega there was the head of Panama, and he was indicted too for cooperating with drug cartels, just like Maduro. And we sent the military in and grabbed him. And then there was a transition to a democratic government there. And Maduro was going to make all the same arguments that you just did, that not your arguments, that you said others are making, and then Noriega made. Oh, I'm a head of state. You can't grab me. You can't bring me back for prosecution. If anything, I'm like a prisoner under the Geneva Conventions because we're at war. And you know what? Noriega lost on every single one of those arguments. The federal courts weren't going to get into any kind of question between Congress and the president over whether the war was proper. And they just tried the guy. And I'll tell you, Maduro, he's got lawyers. He's going to have a right to put on defense, to force the government to persuade a jury unanimously that he's guilty. He's going to get way more due process and way more fairness than he ever showed to any of his own people.
Well, that's the other question I have, Professor John Yu, is why does he get, and I'm not saying he shouldn't, but why does he get to go to criminal court and get an attorney and get due process? Why is he not treated, for example, like a military combatant and just, you know, skip, go, collect, you don't get $200, you go right to Gitmo, for example?
Yeah, I think we could do that. We could have, we could treat him like a prisoner, and we could have done like what we've done did in Iraq. We could have allowed the government to transition to, as you said, Rich, the people who were actually democratically elected last year in a real election, let them take power, and then we could have handed him back to them for trial. We could do that if we want. We have, I think the president as a commander in chief and also the chief law enforcement officer, he has the discretion whether to do that or to bring them back for trial. And I think President Trump has decided to bring them back for trial because I think they're still trying to figure out what to do with the transition to the next government there in Venezuela.
Right. And with Noriega, what ultimately happened? I know that he was found guilty, but did he serve time just solely in the United States, or were there other countries as well?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's kind of what a combination of what we were just talking about. So he was convicted in federal court. He had full defense. He had his appeals. He tried to even get the Supreme Court to review his conviction, and they wouldn't. He spent, I believe, the rest of his life in jail. He served out part of his sentence in the United States, and then he was, I think, sent to Panama, where he served out the remainder of his sentence. But I don't think he was ever a free man again. And I think that's what's going to happen to Maduro and his wife. I think they're going to spend the rest of their lives in jail, too.
Whether it's in America or it ends up could be in Venezuela. I mean, it's very possible that, you know, they may decide, the new government, they want to indict him for some of the crimes that he's committed against his people. And for the fact that, I mean, he stole the election, too. I mean, we all know that. So that's another possibility here that could happen. But the legal process, now that we sort of covered the constitutional question of this, now the legal process, this is a long process. He's not due back in court until March. So what happens now? He just kind of sits there and just waits in jail?
Yeah, it's going to take years because, you know, any federal criminal trial would take, even a simple one, would take at least a year or more. And then he's going to make all kinds of, again, the same claims that Noriega made. Plus, he's going to do things that, you know, like the same things that foreign spies do. He's going to say, I want to see all the classified documents where, you know, Donald Trump talks about me with other people. And I want to see every. So he's going to try to, you know, turn the trial into a circus and embarrass the government and try to reveal secrets in court. So it's going to take even longer. You know, like Noriega's trial, I think, took several years. And I wouldn't be surprised if it'd be true of Maduro. But he's still going to be in prison because obviously the guy is a danger and obviously a flight risk. So I don't think there's any question that the government can hold him during, pending and during the trial itself.
Yeah, I would argue he's a flight risk, too. I would think so. But then again, he's in New York, and Mamdani seems to like him. So, you know, if he got out of jail on bail, he could get a job in Mamdani's administration. That's certainly possible.
I've seen people worried, you know, Mamdani's like, oh, no, I hope Trump doesn't invade other socialist countries like New York City.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's the next domino to fall there. Professor John Yu is with us. It's great to have him at the Emanuel Heller Professor of Law at the University of California at Berkeley. And most importantly, Philadelphia's own. His latest piece, the Trump administration's actions in Venezuela are constitutional. So when we get back to this idea of the of Congress declaring war versus the president taking imminent action, the War Powers Act and everything else, you get more complicated as you look at a country like Mexico, for example, which is another country that, you know, we talk a lot about. There, Claudia Sheinbaum, duly elected president. It's at our southern border. The drug cartels are a problem. But if we were to go fight them, how does all that work? And if you were advising the president, what advice would you give him on that?
That's a tough question because I think we're at war with Venezuela. I mean, we went and grabbed the president there, brought him back for trial, but we're still at war with Venezuela. We've got air embargo. We've got a blockade still in place. We've bombed targets in the country. We're not doing that with Mexico.
Right.
You raise a tough question. What if we want to take the next step with Mexico and go after the drug cartels and the fentanyl labs that are leading to hundreds of thousands of overdoses a year in the United States? The easiest way to do it would be to get president of Mexico to invite us. To say to us, I can't handle them. They're too powerful, but I would invite the United States government to cooperate with us in doing it. I think that's been going on for a while anyway. I think we've been trying to give them intelligence about the drug cartels. We've been trying to help train their anti-drug forces. Maybe it's not been successful enough, but if the government of Mexico invites us in, even secretly, then we can do it. Then I think that's the best course of action there, is to get the support and approval of the Mexican government, because they don't seem to be strong enough to handle this problem. And the negative effects are, you know, obviously are harming hundreds of thousands of Americans a year.
And then before I let you go, I would just love to get your reaction to this. Jasmine Crockett, Congresswoman Crockett, who's running for Senate now in Texas, and I've got a better chance of winning than she does, and I'm not running. She said President Trump is going to start.
You like to wear your Eagles jersey around Dallas, I bet.
Yeah, not after yesterday's game. I don't know if I want it. Although Dallas lost too, though, I guess. And they lost to the Giants, so that's even more humiliating, right? So, you know. She said President Trump is going to start a war to cancel the midterm elections. I'm just wondering how that would play, how that works
crazy.
Exactly.
That is so crazy. I mean, but you know what else is so sad? Historical ignorance. You know, in the worst war in our country's history, the Civil War, we even had midterm elections. We have never not had the midterm elections. Abraham Lincoln, one of the key things he said is, even though we're in the worst war and the Constitution wasn't prepared for a civil war, we're still going to have midterm elections. So I don't know where she gets these ideas, but she should at least know the history of her own country before she starts saying things like this.
I don't think she's much of a reader, but that's me, you know. Although they did make a movie about the Civil War, probably a couple of them. So she could watch the movie, I guess, if she wanted to, right? always a pleasure hearing from you, my friend. Let's hope the Birds have a better chance on Sunday against San Francisco.
I'm sitting out here in San Francisco Bay right now, and I know the people here, they're not looking forward to the Niners flying all the way to Philly and playing in Philadelphia. I hope it snows a lot.
Yeah, that's what we need. Yes, that's what we need. We need snow. You nailed it. Well, this was great. Always a pleasure. I really appreciate you coming on the show and for all your expertise. And we'll post a link to your latest piece at National Review. Professor John Yu, Philadelphia's own. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Rich. Great to be with you again.
Appreciate it.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Grand Hotel Cape May.com. We were just there. We had an amazing time at our last live show. It was a blast. It was so much fun. And now I want you to start thinking about winter getaways, okay? Because the kids loved the heated indoor saltwater pool. It was a blast. We had so much fun. Pool opens early and it's warm. Bob, the owner, my buddy, keeps it at 88 degrees. 88 degrees. It's also a great place to watch the Birds. We watched the game, the Saturday game, in the bar at Hemingway's. And when the Eagles scored, he even let Patrick play the Eagles fight song. So it's a great place to take your family. If you're looking for a little winter break, a little winter getaway, go ahead and do that. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right, so I told you I had an announcement to make, and I think now is a good time to announce it. And basically, it kind of goes like this. I've been very blessed with this amazing radio career of mine. It's been an incredible ride. It has been and will be an incredible ride. It has been from filling in on weekends and doing overnight shifts and working holidays, and then ultimately being the 6 to 9 guy half the year, because we had the Phillies back then on PHT. And then the day that they came to me and said, we want to make you the afternoon drive host in 2014, a few days before my son was born. And then when they said, we want to make you the morning drive host, And then I went back to afternoons. And in that time, we've done a lot of great things. We've done incredible things. I'm not one to post about ratings and do all that stuff. I don't do that. But the show's been incredibly successful because of you, because of this incredible Zeoli army, which was organic, by the way. It's not something we created. We didn't sit around in a lab or in a corporate boardroom and come up with the Zeoli army. That was completely something that was created by the audience. We lost two of our founding fathers of the Zeoli Army in terms of the namesake of that over the years, obviously, with most recently being our buddy Sid. But it was something that the audience created, completely organic, and it just grew and grew. And, you know, when I'm at these shows and people come in with Zeoli Army shirts and gear and hats and they make them themselves and they buy them online, and it's not something I don't even know if we stock the store anymore. It's amazing. I don't think there's ever been an audience like this in at least local radio history that's been so loyal and so just part of the show in that way, and making friends and, I mean, traveling together on trips, and then like friendships that are created at these live shows, and then it's become a whole thing. It's its own thing. It's its own organic entity, the Zeoli Army. It's been amazing. It's been great, and I've loved it. And then the last year, you know, we've had a lot of great success branching out into the TV arena, and that's also been wonderful too. My kids are getting a little bit older, as you know, now 11, my son's 11 now, Claire's 9, Reagan's 5. So afternoons are interesting because I miss a lot of stuff with them when you got things and you know, Bridget's running them around all over God's creation right now. And I'm on the radio, which I've loved. And I've loved that very, very much. And I'm still going to love it, but in a different capacity. Because in thinking about my career and my future and what I want for the future and what I want for my life going forward at this point, and what we're going to do starting Monday is make a little bit of a change to the show. Now, it's going to be a little bit of a change in the sense that I'm not going to be on for 4 hours a day. I've decided I'm going to launch a national podcast, and I'm very proud to say that WPHT is going to be the flagship station for that podcast. So you're going to get to hear it every day at 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. However, if you'd like to listen to it earlier, you can, because we're gonna post it before 6 o'clock, so you can listen on your terms when you want, and it will be on video, and it's going to be available on every platform, including YouTube, streaming as well. But the goal of this, obviously, is to create something that is big and something that I think is going to just be a game changer. I really do, because the world is going in this direction in a big, big way, but radio still matters in a big, big way. And this is the best of both worlds, because it gives me the ability to create a podcast, a video cast, a show. Really, it's going to be a show. I mean, we've invested so much in this with 4K cameras and all this equipment and all this lighting. And I've only shown you just like a tiny little piece of this, but we've been working on this for months now. So it's going to be a broadcast quality show, and it's going to be available for you when you want it. And the beautiful thing about it is, because I still believe very much in radio, it's still going to be on the radio as well. But I get so many messages from people. I listen to you on podcasts. I listen to you on streaming. I listen in the morning. I listen in the afternoon. I listen at night. You'll still be able to do that on your schedule whenever you want. It's just not going to be 4 hours anymore. And the 1 hour show is going to be the best. It really is. It's going to be the best of me. It's going to be the best that I can offer you, packed up in an hour. It's going to be great. And the other part about this too, which I'm really excited about, is that in addition to WPHT, and they've been amazing, by the way, when I went to them with this idea, they really asked me to do all 4 hours and stay. They even said, why don't you just do 3 to 6 and just do 3 hours? And I said, no, I really believe this is the future here. I really believe this is my future and what I want to be doing. And there's an article I read recently about the podcast Gold Rush is on, where you've got companies like Fox News recently acquired the Ruthless podcast, and it's now their property. And it's just the world is changing in a digital way. But I believe very much in the power of radio, which is why I said I need to still be on the radio. And maybe the show can even wind up on other radio stations. But WPHT will be the flagship station because this is my home. And to that end, my presence on the station is also going to be something that you're going to eventually get sick of, because I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I'm going to be joining other shows throughout the week. So, for example, one day a week, I'll be joining Kale and Company, and I'll be a contributor to that show, and I'll be hanging out with them for whatever, however long they will have me, and I'll join Dawn's show. And then whoever they decide to put in the 3 to 6 slot, because I'll be on 6 to 7, whoever they put in that 3 to 6 slot, I'll also be joining them as well, assuming that they want me, he or she or they or whoever they put in there wants me to join them, which I would imagine that they would. Why not? I'm a nice guy, and I'll be joining them as well. And it's going to be great because we're going to have an amazing presence on the station with a beautifully produced, wonderful video podcast, still be on the radio. It really is the best of all the worlds. And it then also frees me up for a lot of other things that I'm doing these days in my life, which I'll talk more about as time goes on. But let's just say that I've been very blessed with a lot of great opportunities lately that I think are only going to be increasing as the year goes on. And also, too, there's some other aspects of my professional life, which I have not been able to do because of doing a 4-hour radio show, like political consulting, for example, and advising candidates and debate prep and media training for candidates. And I'd like to kind of get back into doing a little bit of that as well. So that's also going to free me up for that. And also to just be a better dad and to be around for my kids more, a whole lot more than I am right now, because I'm not around for my kids at all right now. And that's kind of a bummer. But this will also give me the ability to do that as well. But what we're creating here is going to be something that is really incredible. My producer for the new effort is a guy I worked with for a long time. Unfortunately, I can't steal Matt DeSantis for a year because not that I ever would. God knows I would never want to work with him again. But I do have a 1-year non-solicitation agreement, so I can't steal Justin just yet. He's the one I really would want to steal, obviously, but can't do that either. But this is going to be such high quality, and it's going to be so impactful, and I could not be more excited about it, because I've looked at the podcast landscape out there. It's not great right now. It really isn't. There's a need for something fantastic out there. There's a need for some great political analysis that's not bat-ass crazy, and also something that's really entertaining. And I think that 1 hour is the sweet spot, because it seems like with attention spans these days and busy lives, that's a beautiful sweet spot to be, both on the radio and then also as a podcast as well, with the video production element and all of it. So I could not be more excited about this. I'm thrilled. I really am. We were going to actually do this around Labor Day. They said, can you wait through the election? And then after the election, they said, can you wait a little bit longer? Station's been fantastic. David Yadgaroff, the vice president / market manager, has been nothing but supportive. Dave Skopanich, our executive vice president of sales, nothing but supportive, helping work this out for me, supporting me every step of the way, trying to talk me out of it at times, but, you know, supportive without question. And of course, Greg Stocker, our program director, who's just been nothing but an absolute brother and a friend through this entire process, too, as we've created this together. So I'm thrilled. I'm happy. And I just hope you'll join me on this next iteration of the show. And you'll listen, you'll download, you'll share it, you'll tell your friends about it, you'll help it grow, you'll help it rise to national prominence. And I think the future is very bright. Well, I had a text from a friend on New Year's Day who sent me a nice note. And this friend has known about it for a while. I told her about this back in the fall, about my what I was going to do. And I had nothing but support from her in this idea. And I texted her a note on New Year's Day and just thanked her for all her support and getting me from just being known as just the Philly guy and talking Pennsylvania politics to talking national politics. And she wrote back and said, your future is so bright. So that was great to hear. And we together as an audience, we, the Zeoli Army, we, this incredible family, has just done an amazing job of making this show so successful. And there's not many things like it out there, really, truly. And this next iteration of that, this next evolution of the show, being an hour and being available on podcast and radio, is something that stations around the country aren't doing yet, but they will be. And we're going to be the leader of that on WPHT. You'll see. You'll see. But no doubt about that. In my mind, it's the next revolution in broadcasting, because radio is not going anywhere anytime soon. But we all want to consume information and content when we want to consume it and on our schedule. And I believe that that's very true. And what we're doing at WPHT, and I just give the station such incredible accolades for doing so, and my incredible sponsors for standing with me through all this, is we're delivering something that I think other stations around the country would be very wise to emulate, which is this hybrid of being both radio and podcast and doing it in a way that is incredibly entertaining and informative and a lot of fun at the same time. Because at the end of the day, we have a lot of fun, and that's what matters too, but bringing that great information. So we're going to start on Monday, as in this coming Monday. So then this is my last full week of doing a four-hour radio show. And then starting next week, it'll be a one-hour podcast that you can listen to on podcast, or you can listen right here on WPHT at 6 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday, most Fridays, several Fridays out of the year. So I'm excited about that. I really am. And excited to join Kale and Company and Nick, Dawn, and Greg once a week, and excited to join Dawn and her show. Her show's fantastic. Love Dawn. Can't wait to join her once a week. Can't wait to talk to whoever they put in 3 to 6 once a week and hang out with them and have a great time together and just laugh and talk. And we'll see what comes next in terms of other things, but I'm not going anywhere. We're just evolving. In a great way, in a really positive way. And months and months of prayer and thinking about it and talking about it with my wife and the kids and Greg and the station. And it's just, this is where I want to be. And if you can tell by the smile on my face, I am so excited for this. I really am. I'm so excited for this. I think an hour show is going to give you the best of me in every way. Not that 4 hours doesn't, but I think 1 hour of just a great, solid show, you're going to get the absolute best of me every single day. And it's going to be analysis. And I'm not going to be taking press conferences live. And I'm not going to be doing any of those things because they eat into the show. I don't know yet what we're going to do about things like guests. I've had some people question that. I don't know. I'm old school when it comes to radio and broadcasting in general. I always love the whole one-on-one conversation that you and I are having together. I've always loved that. I think there's a lot of podcasts that are out there that have, it's just two people talking. It's a lot of guests. It's a lot of people. That's probably not what I'm going to do. I like just having a conversation with you and telling you what I think about things and then letting you chime in. And since we're going to be live on multiple platforms, you'll be able to give me your thoughts in real time and social media and everything else. So it's going to be great. I'm really happy. But most importantly, I want to just say thank you for your incredible support. For now, it's been, let's see, so 11 years as a full-time radio host, and I've only ever been on one station my entire life, and that's Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. So 11 years of being a full-time host, and now this evolution of the show, and I know you'll be right there with me through it and for it. And you may complain. You may say, Rich, I want you for 4 hours a day. I need you for four, but you're going to love the hour, and that's what counts. And I always believe, always leave them wanting more in life. I really do. I always believe that as well. So it's going to be fun, and I just thank you in advance for being part of it. That's the big announcement. So not going anywhere, just kind of evolving a little bit. And we'll see what other opportunities are opening doors for me in 2026. I think there are going to be some good ones. And I'm excited to share more with you on that front as the year goes on. And excited that the Zioli Army is only going to get stronger and bigger and more loyal. And we'll have more fun together than we've ever had before. So it's going to be great. So thank you. That's the big announcement. And did anyone win the bet? That's the question. DeSantis, Justin, were you keeping tabs? Did anyone win? Was there a bet?
Most of the people were speculating that you were having a toe surgery. So nobody got it right, I don't think.
A toe surgery, huh?
I saw a lot of surgery chatter. Nobody was predicting this, though.
You know what? I'll tell you something. I am due for a toe surgery this year. You know, it's funny because Dr. Malilly, who saved my toe, reached out to me over Christmas break. And I think he's thinking it's been a couple months since Zioli's been under the knife. So, yeah, I mean, why not? We could still make that come true, that prediction. We can do it, right?
I saw another prediction was a politics and pints with Nicolas Maduro. That wasn't right either, though.
I'm not ruling that. That may be tomorrow's announcement. We're not ruling that out. We're just trying to work it out with the prison so that we can do it from the jail. They don't normally do speaker series events at jail, so we got to work that out. And there's a question of, do you get a copy of his book? Do you get a copy of his prison suit? Maybe a copy of his soap? You know, so I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work.
He should have some free time on his hands now.
Well, he's not going to be back in court till March. So, you know, I'm just saying. But anyway, I want to thank my great sponsors. I want to thank Dr. Mike Veneria, my buddy, and my friend, who, like I said, I did see him on January 31st for my checkup. He knew about this and kept it tight to the vest, of course. Caitlin and Bob at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. We were hanging out and at our last show, and I think, well, we closed the bar, but it's his bar, so I don't think it technically ever closes, if you know what I mean. But they've been fantastic, my friends at the Grand Hotel. And yes, we will still be doing live shows at the Grand Hotel in 2026. In fact, I'm going to be doing shows at all my sponsors throughout the year. I'm going to do two shows at Dr. Mike's office, two shows at Bob's Little Sports Shop. I'm going to see them this week because I got to get another piece, if you know what I mean. I need another gun. So I got an appointment at Bob's this week, and Wendy and Bob and the whole team there, they've been great. So we're going to do something with Bob's. And of course, Brian and Cheryl Krieger, my great friends. I texted them over break and I said, I think once this Volvo lease is finally done, we're going to bring it in. I want a new family truckster. And of course, I'm going to do it at Tri-County. I'm not going to do it anywhere else. So they've been wonderful as well with their incredible generosity. Matt Kelly, my buddy at Emmons. Matt knew about this a while ago. I actually talked to him about it when we were up in New York at Fox for a Fox News Saturday night taping. And Matt kept it close to the vest, but said, you got my full support, man. Whatever you do, you're going to be great. It's going to be great. So, you know, count me in. So he's really excited about that. I'm just blessed with the most incredible audience in radio, and also blessed with the absolute best sponsors in radio, too, that are just phenomenal people who really care about this show and care about you. And the reason why they care is because you patronize them and you show them your loyalty too, and that really matters. And that means everything. Natural Lawn of America, who takes such great care of my lawn, great people over there doing fantastic work for me. They're sticking with us, so we're good. Did I miss anybody? I think that's everybody, right? Did I cover everybody? I think I did, because I can't think of my attention span. You know, who am I missing, Matt? Did I get everybody? I got Grand Hotel, Bob's, I got Veneria, I got Emmons, I got Tri-County. Yeah, the natural ones. Those are the big six. So yeah, they've all been great. And it's the reason why is because whether I'm on for 4 hours or I'm on for an hour, the loyalty of the Zioli army doesn't change, and your support of them, I know, is not going to change, which is also key, because you know that they are going to help us and keep this show going from now until whenever and wherever we go next. That's the key. But like I said, WPHG is where we're planting the flag. This is the flagship station. This is it. This is right here. Not only, it's not just going to be not just like this is it, but I'm saying, well, this station matters to me. This has been my home. It's always been my home. So that's why it was very, very important to me as I decided to create this new show and this new evolution, that we had to have it on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It also had to have the terrestrial radio component to it. It's very important to me. There are other hosts who have made moves and have left radio to just go into podcasting. I don't think that's great. I don't think that's smart. Radio is incredibly important. It matters, and people listen to it every day in their cars, and I want to be on it. And we may end up on other stations, too. I was talking to Greg about this. You know, a lot of other stations out there looking for a good one-hour show. So you never know where we might end up. Maybe it could be in a market near you. But the key is your loyalty, your friendship, and your support of not just this show, but all the shows on this great radio station, this incredible legend of a radio station, and the incredible legend of the Zioli Army. So starting Monday, this coming Monday, 6 to 7 p.m., you can hear it right here on the radio, or you can get the podcast when you want on your schedule. And you can watch it, and you can stream it, and you can love it, and you can or hate it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you'll hate it. I can't say. I don't want to speak for you, but I think you'll love it. I mean, if you love the show, you'll love it. If you hate My Guts now, you probably hate that too. That's usually how these things work. If you love it now, you probably love it. If you hate me now, you're probably not going to fall in love with me next Monday. It's not like I'm changing anything. No plans to shave my head, no plans to endorse a Democrat, nothing like that, just not going on CNN. So, but anyway, point is, thank you. That's the big announcement. There we go. All right. Any questions? No? I mean, Justin, Matt, I'm wondering if you guys had any questions.
I thought that was a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay.
I know you're talking to me.
Oh, it was a rhetorical question. Oh, okay. No. But did you have any questions, or you're good?
I think you answered everything.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
Fantastic job.
Well, there you go. See that? Look at that. This could be great. This could be fun. It's going to be great. Yeah.
There is one question that I see popping up on social media. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but the question is, who will be on from 3 to 6?
They don't know who they're going to put in there 3 to 6. Let your voice be heard, but they have not, certainly not told me if they've decided on who the 3 to 6 person is going to be. They have not told me. So, it won't be me though. Cause I have a tendency to do that, you know, to keep changing my mind, but definitely not going to be me. And there's obviously tremendous talent out there, as you know. So we're blessed in this industry to have that tremendous talent. But I imagine that announcement will be forthcoming. And I'm sure Greg's phone is probably blowing up right now. I didn't tell him I was making this announcement today, so he's going to kill me. No, I'm kidding. But I imagine his phone's blowing up right now with people being like, hey, it's been a long time. What's new? How are you? So I would not want to be Stalker right now. I mean, I wouldn't want to be Stalker any day, but I mean, particularly today, you know what I mean? Well, no, I mean, he's got to get up and do the morning show, and he's got to get a kid. He's got a dog. He's got to run the station. That's just hell. I'd rather be Maduro than Greg Stalker if I had to pick. Don't you think?
At least he gets to rest.
Yeah, at least he gets to rest a little bit. I mean, he's definitely going to be Maduro's going to get more sleep than Greg Stalker and look more presentable too, because they'll make him shave for court, you know. So
he got to go on a little cruise. He got a private flight. Yeah,
he gets a rainfall shower every day. Granted, it's a gang shower, but
some new roommates.
Yeah, guy gets room, his company, play cards, you know, a little shiv here and there in the courtyard. All right, so there we go. So I guess I should take a break since I'm 12 minutes over.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it would help.
All right. And we have, who's coming up? We got Daniel Turner joining us. He's going to talk about Venezuelan oil. We'll do that. But I also have to say, what am I saying now? I got to talk about anybody? Anything in particular? Or
I think you're good for now.
I'm good? All right, great.
I mean, yeah, we'll if you want to, you can talk about Dr. Mike Venaria.
Again? I just talked about the guy. All right, fine. I'll talk about him. He is a great guy. He's a great friend. When it comes to choosing a dentist, you got to realize something. Care and expertise matter. It's everything. It really is. It's everything. So Venaria Dental prides themselves on precision and consistency and personalized care. That's why he's my dentist. And when people say to him all the time, he goes, Rich, really come here? Yes, I really go there. I was there, like I said, New Year's Eve, getting my smile worked up and, you know, got to be TV ready these days. You never know. Like this morning, for example, Fox asked me if I could come on and talk about Tim Walz. They didn't ultimately end up needing me, but you just got to be ready. You never know when these opportunities are going to present themselves. So Dr. Mike is the best. He really is. And two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. But it is about care. The highest quality clinical care and personalized service in a warm and compassionate atmosphere. That's what Venaria Dental is all about. Bridget got a beautiful smile upgrade from Dr. Mike last year when he replaced her veneers with caps. And his specialty, what he's known for, what other dentists do is they send their patients to Dr. Mike when it comes to things like dental implants, the really complex dental work, dental implants, and there's nobody who does it better than Dr. Mike Venaria. So reach out to him today. You get a free implant consultation. You could choose the Cinnaminson location or the Woodbury location. Both are right over the bridge. The staff is great. The music's playing. Allie, who did my smile, she did a great job. She was a dental hygienist. Everybody who works there is top notch, and you deserve to have a beautiful smile. So make 2026 the year of your smile, all right? And do that today by going to venariadental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, venariadental.com. My buddy, my friend, and the undisputed master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Venaria, venariadental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm also running for governor of Minnesota, so there's also that. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks for all the kind words on the YouTube chat, on social media. I plan to respond, and I will, and thank you. It's hard to do during the radio show, obviously, but thank you. I watch it. I always see it. Always, whenever you respond to one of my clips that I post or something, I always see it, just so you know. Sometimes I get distracted by either one of my three children or Gary the puppy, but it doesn't mean I didn't see it. I always do, and I'll have a little more time now to be able to respond even more, which I'm looking forward to, definitely. But there is an opening for governor of Minnesota coming up because Tim Walz, the Minnesota doofus, the guy who has become an absolute meme of what an effeminate man looks like, he's now decided that he's not going to run for re-election. That's because he would lose, because his own party was turning against him, because he's a disaster, and the fraud scandal keeps getting worse every single day for Tim Walz. It gets worse and worse and worse. And they're projecting now, what, $9 billion of taxpayers being ripped off because of Tim Walz, $9 billion with a B. Absolutely insane. Just insane. And I told you, I mean, I said this. Look, I'm not one to always say that I make political predictions that are right. All right, that I do. I don't post about ratings a lot, but I do post about, I usually do brag about my political prognostications, even though we didn't get that Doug Burgum one right. We got a good record. We got a good average. And, okay, maybe I also brag a little, not brag, but maybe I talk about being on Fox News quite a bit. Fair enough. I'll give you that. That's fair. I'll give you both of those things. And maybe I don't work Fridays that often, but that's also fair. True. I'll throw that out as well. Okay. But when it comes to the fact that I predicted, like a lot of other people predicted, Tim Walz was not going to make it, it's not some genius thing. You don't have to be a political prognosticator to figure that out. The guy was toast. He was done. Biggest fraud scandal in the state's history, could be in the country's history if you think about it from a state perspective. I don't think there's anything like it. And there's more to come. That's the thing. If it was just this, maybe the guy fights and survives, although I doubt it. But there's more that's coming. And that's the truth. And that's the reality. And that's why Walz was done. He was cool. It's over for him. It's done. But I know that some people think that he has a shot of redemption there's no coming back from this. The only thing I can't figure out is why they ever picked this moron to be on the ticket as the Democrat vice presidential candidate. I can't figure this out. What did the guy bring to the table? I mean, tampons in the bathroom, okay. Loading a shotgun on his schwanz, okay. But you were going to win Minnesota anyway. Ran around on the stage like a big giant doofus. Was a terrible debater. A terrible debater. One of the absolute worst. Could not go toe-to-toe with J.D. Vance. And his policies were as progressive as Kamala Harris, as kooky. So what? He didn't even offer a contrast to the candidate in any way. And again, it was a state you were going to win anyway. I don't get it. They said, oh, we needed a boring white guy. That was it? That's all it took? And how they were never able to figure out this fraud scandal with these Somali gangsters and all these people that got ripped off, how the campaign did not vet and properly figure that out, I still can't figure that out. Why Kamala Harris's campaign would go with him. I know Josh Shapiro didn't want it. I get that. Shapiro did not want it. He did not want to be part of that train wreck, and I don't blame him, and I don't think you could blame him, and I don't think anybody could blame him. But there were other candidates out there. It wasn't just Waltz. It wasn't like it was Shapiro or Waltz, and Waltz didn't want it, so they went with, Shapiro didn't want it, so there was no other option. There were plenty of other candidates they could have picked out there, so I don't get it. Matt, you have the clip of him making the announcement, I believe, right?
Yeah, Justin, this is cut 30.
Cut 30.
In September, I announced that I would seek a historic third term as Minnesota's governor. And I have every confidence that if I gave it my all, we would win the race. But as I reflect on this moment with my family and my team over the holidays, I came to the conclusion that I can't give a political campaign my all. Every minute that I spend defending my own political interest would be a minute I can't spend defending the people of Minnesota against the criminals who prey on our generosity and the cynics who want to prey on our differences. So I've decided to step out of this race, and I'll let others worry about the election while I focus on the work that's in front of me for the next year. I'm passing on this race with zero sadness and zero regret. I didn't run for this job to have the job. I ran for the job to do the job. Minnesota faces enormous challenges this year, and I refuse to spend a single minute doing anything other than rising to meet this moment. Minnesota has always come first and always.
The best part is, though, he goes on to say, but if Donald Trump continues his actions, if Donald Trump threatens the people of Minnesota, I'll be back. Like he's some superhero or something. Like if the people of Earth are ever threatened, I'll be back. Like, shut up. You're leaving. You're a loser. You're done. You lost. Goodbye. Good riddance. You rip people off. $9 billion of fraud. You will go down as one of the biggest political failures in American history. A gigantic doofus. A moron. A guy who put tampons in boys' bathrooms and then allowed his state to get ripped off billions of dollars right under his nose. Didn't do a damn thing about it because he was worried about ticking off the Somali community because they're politically connected. And he was also worried about being called a racist. He's incompetent. He was an idiot, couldn't load a shotgun, loaded a shotgun on his schwanz, and also, on top of all of it, brought nothing to the table and a national ticket. Nothing. It was bad all around. And goodbye, good riddance to Tim Walz, a political failure, a guy who has become a walking human meme of a joke about what it means to be a masculine male, the ultimate beta male. The ultimate beta male. And the Democrats made the worst decision by, well, not only letting Joe Biden pretend like he was running and then putting Kamala Harris in, then getting that idiot to be on the ticket. A disaster. All right, big fourth and final hour straight ahead. The big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental, make 2026 the year of your beautiful smile. Go see Dr. Mike today, veneriadental.com. Daniel Turner is going to tell us about the impact of oil now that Maduro is sitting in lockup. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.